the transfiguration of the believer. The transfiguration of the believer. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. He was transfigured before them. What does that mean? He was transfigured. Transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ meant the inward divinity showed through his humanity. John chapter 1. I remind you again of my habits. Many scriptures. And that reminds me of an incident. I visited the home of a young couple. And they left me in the living room. And they had books and so forth. And I saw a Bible. And I said to them, do you read your Bible every day? Oh, yes, every day we read the Bible. And I asked, why is there so much dust on it? The constant reading of the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1. The transfiguration of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Verse 14. The Word became flesh. And now don't be afraid of the expression, the Word became flesh. You know what it means in everyday language? It means that God became a human. Don't let that bother you. He was a human being. The Word became flesh. And from time to time, that inward divinity shone through his flesh. That is transfiguration. And today, he is what he always was. Pardon me, I should say whom he always was. God. And he is what he became, man. And in the heavens, he is the God-man. You know, at Christmas time, they talk about the little babe. He's no little babe. He grew up. He's the God-man. The man in heaven. Now, what happened when he became a human being? Did he cease to be God? No, he was the God-man. And today, he is both God and man. 1 Timothy, please, chapter 2. 5. There is one God, one mediator between God and man. The Lord Jesus Christ is today both God and man. And when he was transfigured, that inner divinity shone through his humanity. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye, many of your Bibles say transformed. It's the same word as in Matthew, be transfigured. We believers are to be transfigured. Just as the Lord was transfigured on that mountain and his glory shone through his humanity, even so our inner selves, our inner man, that new man, is to shine through our human flesh. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. What is the world? I've told you before, years ago in New York City, on a Sunday I wore a bright red tie. And an older sister came to me, in fact she called me and said, you shouldn't be wearing that tie today, it's too worldly. And I was severely reprimanded for wearing a tie that was too worldly. How do you know when a thing is worldly? What decides what is worldly? 1 John, please. 2. First John chapter 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. First John chapter 2. Verse 16. How do you define the world? How do you know what's worldly? All that is in the world. All that's in the world. And we're going to read it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's all there is in this world. That's what got Eve in trouble. That's what Satan presented to Eve. And on that mount of testing, temptation, that's all that Satan presented to the Lord Jesus Christ. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the vainglory of life. And it has been described in different ways. Appetite, avarice, and ambition. Pleasure, possessions, and position. Bread, bounty, and bouquets. Who do you think put it that way? Can't you guess? That's right, Dr. Rolls. He defined all that's in the world, bread, bounty, and bouquets. And you know, very few get all three. Some get two, and most only get one. I think of J.D. Rockefeller, the original millionaire, billionaire. He had possessions. He had bounty. And he had bouquets. He was known worldwide as the great Rockefeller, richest man in the world. But you know, he had stomach trouble. And he offered $500,000 to anybody who could prepare a meal that he could enjoy. With all his money, he only had two. All that is in the world. Now, we are not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed. How does that come about? How is the believer transformed? What is there within that can come out? Ephesians chapter 4, please. If we are to be transformed as the Lord was transformed, then something that is within has to come out. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Ye have put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man, every believer has the new man. When you were born again, you were given the new man created after God. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The new man. 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great promise as in precious promises, that ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Beloved, that new man is divine. I know that's sort of, you sit and wonder. You mean, in me is divinity? Yes, the new nature is divine. Now, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. That new man is divine. We are partakers of the divine nature. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Everybody have it? Whosoever is born of God doth no sin. Why? God's seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. How does that make you feel? The new nature within cannot sin. It's divine. And how is the believer transformed? When that new nature flows out. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ on that mount, that divine nature shone through his human nature, in the same way the divine nature in me and in you is to show through the human nature. Come back again, please, to Romans chapter 12. How is this new nature to show through? Verse 2 again. Be not conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good. In other words, the mind has to be involved. The renewing of your mind. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. How is that mind to be exercised? What is that mind to be concentrating on if we are to be renewed in that new nature? Verse 8, Joshua 1. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein. Meditation in the Word of God brings about that transformation. Meditate therein when? Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. Psalm 1, please. We are to meditate. Psalm 1 and verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates. And it's only as we meditate on the word of the Lord, meditate on him, that we ourselves will be in a position to be transformed. Philippians chapter 8. Philippians chapter 8. Chapter 4. I see you looking at me. You must be wondering, what kind of Bible am I reading? No, the same as yours. It is chapter 4, please. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and any praise, think on these things. What do you meditate on, beloved? I tell you, there's a whole lot around that is not worthwhile even looking at. Meditating on the word of God, that new nature is improved and is in a position to flow through our human frames. Now, when you meditate on the word of God, who's the chief subject? I remember speaking once to a group of prisoners, and I asked, who is the Bible all about? And they all said, man. Yes, the Bible tells you about man. But who is the chief subject in the Bible? John chapter 5. Search verse 39. John 5, verse 39. The chief subject of the Bible. Search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. And any time you read the Bible and you don't see the Lord Jesus Christ, you've missed the point. It's just that plain. This book is about him. And I say again, any time you read and you don't see the Lord Jesus Christ, you've missed the point. Meditate. 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 On him. Well, you say to me, how do we meditate on him? Luke chapter 24. Verse 27. Beginning at Moses, or am I going too fast? Luke 24, 27. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Again, I say, if you read the book and you don't see him, you've missed the point. The Bible is about him. And as we meditate on him, meditate on his word, that new man is improved. And we get to the point where the new man flows out. Or you say, is this possible? It is possible. Another scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And beloved, let me say this to you. The study of the scripture will thrill you. You talk about Shakespeare and you talk about drama. There's more drama in the Bible than Shakespeare ever thought of. And you talk about a love story. Oh, you like love stories? Well, there isn't a better one than the Song of Solomon. This little book has it all. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image as we look into this book and see our Lord Jesus Christ. We are changed into the same image. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Well, let me ask you, have you been changed? You notice any change in yourself? The story is told. I'm sorry our brother Enoch isn't here. I'd like him to confirm this. But it is told that in a certain part of India, there was a statue. And this particular man would come and look at that statue every day. And sometimes he would spend hours looking at that statue. And after many years, you couldn't tell the difference between the statue and the man. That happened with Moses, didn't it? That must have been a wonderful experience, 40 days and 40 nights in the presence of the Lord. And when he came down among the people, his face was so glowing, he had to cover it. And that is the lesson today. We are to be transformed, transfigured, just as the Lord was transfigured on the mount. That inner divine life is supposed to shine through. Is that possible here on earth? Yes. I remember years ago I was in Detroit, and Brother Ken Hampton, he has visited here some time ago. He, his wife, and I, and my wife, he took us out to eat. Beautiful restaurant. And all the waitresses were dressed the same. And we had a waitress. She did what every other waitress did. And I said to Kim, there's something about this young lady that's different. We didn't talk scripture. We didn't sing any hymns. She just served, and as you would expect a maid or a waitress to serve. And I said to Kim, there's something different about this young lady. He said, well, I don't know. And I said to her, young lady, I want to ask you a question. What church do you go to? I have to use the regular language. She said, I go to the Pembroke Assembly. Ken said, oh, that's why she's different. In her physical frame, I could tell that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming through. Or you say that's very hard. Yes, it is very hard. But God is able to do all things. And he would have us to shine. Now there's one thing we have to be careful of, beloved. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13. Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading themselves into apostles of Christ. We've got to be careful of those that masquerade. Pretending, you know what you do on Halloween Day? Pretend that you're not what you are. pretend that you're somebody else. And there are a lot of people in this nation who are pretending to be children of God. Beware of them. Masquerading as children of God. Then some people try to improve their outward appearance. And they get a facelift. And some get a brow lift. And they get some, if you want to make a lot of money in cosmetic surgery, do noses. I can think of at least three doctors. They had their noses straightened to suit themselves. One little fellow, his name was Jurecki. Jurecki was rude, crude, and uncouth. And he had a nose job done, and he changed his name to Jared. And one of the young clerks said, "You know, he changed his name and he changed his face, but he's still the same no good doctor." Yeah. That was outside. When the Lord works, he works from the inside. And that's the trouble with religion. Religion puts a coat on the man, a new coat on the man. Salvation puts a new man in the coat. And that's what we have. And that new man is to shine through that others around may see. I don't know if I should tell you this. I've told it to some. When I tell you this, it's not that I'm boasting about myself. This made me very humble. An elderly lady came to the office. I had never seen her before. She had never seen me. I had no Bibles, no gospel texts, no tracts or anything like that in the office. She came in. You know how the doctors ask all those foolish questions? You know. You complain of a pain on the right side of your head, and he's asking you about the big toe on your left foot. And you wonder, what is wrong with this man? Well, after I had asked all the questions, examined the lady, made my recommendation, as she was going out the door, she said to me, "Doctor, I want to ask you something." I said, "Yes." "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes." And I feel very humble when that lady said, "I thought so." Somehow, through the grace of God, that inner divine self shone through and she could see it. And that is what God expects of all of us. What do our neighbors think of us? Do they know that we are believers? I am not saying that you're to go around there and give them a track. Go around. No. Just by our living, do they know that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus? I remember another time out in California. What's the name of the famous park in California? That famous place? Oh, it slipped me. Well, all of you know about it.
Disney?
What's that?
Is it Disney?
No, in California. The big...
Yosemite.
What's that?
Yosemite.
That's right. There was a conference there. A Bible conference. And one of the visitors there asked, "How shall we identify ourselves?" And the brother that was responsible said, "If you wish, you can go around holding up a Bible to identify yourselves. But I suggest that you live Christ and identify yourself that way. Let that inner new man, born of God, divine, let him shine through. Do not let anything hinder the shining through of the new man. We don't have it in our hymn book. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wondrous compassion and purity. O thou Spirit divine, all my nature refine, till the beauty of Jesus is seen in me. And that's my prayer. And that's the summary of the whole message. That new man, divine in nature, let him show through as the Lord was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. Number 557, please. Make me a blessing. My person shine through. Shine through. And as I said, it works. It's real. I tell you one more story. And please understand, I don't tell you because I have attained any excellence. It's just the grace of God. In New York City many years ago, I had to go downtown on a surgical chore. Entered a skyscraper, went up to the 23rd floor, went in there, transacted surgical business. Didn't talk about the Bible. And when the young lady finished serving me, she said to me, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes." She said, "I could tell." That's not to boast about me. Somehow something came through. And that's what God would have us all to be. Oh, sisters, you go to the store, you go to the supermarket, and you're at the clerk there, and she's adding up all your goods. What impression does she have of you? What impression does your next door neighbor have of you? Oh, they're nice people, they're nice people, they're nice people. Oh, may they say more than God than that. That they see God shining through this flesh. May they see the Lord. May we truly be transfigured and let that inner man come out that others may see. That's my prayer. That's the message. Shall we pray? Again, Holy Father, we bow in thy presence divine. How we thank thee for this occasion that brings us together. Remembering the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Listening to thy word as our brother brought it forth from the book of the Acts. How precious. How delightful. And then listening finally as thou would have us to be transfigured, that from our very persons the beauty and the glory of the Lord may be seen. We ask that thou wouldst please to grant this. We pray again for those that are not with us, our brother Wesley, as he ministers thy word elsewhere, others that are away, we ask thy blessing upon them. We ask thy blessing upon us, even as we take leave at this time. Be with us, preserve us from harm, preserve us from accident, as we give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.